The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's the assistant to the regional manager, Joe George, behind the glass. It is a Friday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It was nice of you to wear a picture of Blank on your shirt today.
That's so mean. That's so mean.
It's obviously not Blank.
He's going to fight you to start the show.
What's going on? You all good?
Was.
How do I segue out of this? This is awkward. Combine's going on right now. We're seeing measurables for a bunch of people. There's been some standouts like Nolan Smith, who's been running really fast, but he's really small for the defensive end position. Besides quarterback, what are three specific positions that are the biggest needs the Texans should focus on in the draft? 713-780-ESPN. We got a busy show for you today. It's a Frankie's Friday Fire, too, by the way, so you bring the heat. Call, tweet, text, Twitch, $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen is yours, so make sure you're considering that. Who said it at 2 o'clock? How'd y'all do last week, by the way, on Who Said It?
Tell them, Joe.
We won.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Does a win mean?
We have 3 out of 5.
Okay. So that's how we define wins?
But Joel thinks that I didn't help him enough.
Enough? You didn't help me at all.
That's such a lie.
You said you wanted to show Jeremy up. You said that.
But he got 3 of the 5.
Right. We did thanks to me.
I gave you the first two.
No.
I thought you were going to do it on your own.
I thought so too, but then I had to take a charity case.
You know what, Jeremy?
What's that?
He talked so much trash to me that I knew the third one because I heard Lance say it, and I intentionally tried to give him the wrong answer. That's how well it went.
This is the story now that he's trying to break.
No, that's factual. When I literally told B-Mac that as I left the studio.
Why didn't you do it on your own, though? I thought that was the plan.
We just changed it last minute.
They told me they wanted me to do it on my own, and then they told me that we weren't. So I just was like, okay, whatever.
That's weird.
I won't partake in the next time.
Well, then we have a better chance of getting more right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you screwed up the first two.
Okay.
Yeah, next Friday you should do it on your own. And then whenever
you're out again?
Yeah, and then whenever you're out on a Friday, I'll do it on my own.
Yeah, we can do that.
And we'll see once and for all which bee's better. Matt, who said it? Which I don't.
First of all, that's not once and for all because the track record has been set. Not that you haven't been good lately.
I've been hot in 23. You might have been better last year, but I'm the latest and greatest. I'm what's hot now. It's what you've done for me lately, and I've been better in 23.
I'll start keeping stats here going forward.
Okay. It's tough, though, because we come to a consensus.
We have worked out a synergy.
We have, actually.
How to come to conclusions.
We've actually done a really good job. Yes. I've been proud of us. Yes. I've been really proud of us.
Yep. It might be the only time we do that.
I would disagree.
Oh.
What are some specific positions that are the biggest needs for the Texans on the draft?
I mean, there's some that come to you right away, right?
I think it's tough because you can address some of these in free agency.
You can, right, but I thought that they were going to address defensive positions in free agency and maybe center and right guard, but I think that tight end is a glaring weakness for them that I think they could address, and I think you know that there are three really good tight ends that are on a tier by themselves at the top of this draft. I think that as much as there are former DeMeco players that are out there in free agency, I think that you could still address pass rush with a front seven type or a edge pass rusher in the draft and do yourself a favor. So I think those two come to mind right away.
If you just, let's go around the horn. Like quarterback, we're dismissing that for a moment because that's the obvious answer. And all the quarterbacks are speaking today, and all the quarterbacks have had things to say today. I saw Bryce Young on stilts at the podium. Did y'all see that, by the way?
No.
His shoes were like, I don't know if it was Photoshopped or not. Maybe it was Photoshopped. If it was, good Photoshop, you got me. But it looks like he's like good 3 inches on his sneakers.
It's possible. Look, I mean, like that one with Drew Brees when the guys were calling out, those were the Nike blah, 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 blahs with the super air soles that gives him 3 more inches on that. Those, too. I mean, I didn't get that technical on it, but we always know that Barkley was 6'4.5" in bare feet. Mm-hmm. But, look, they're going to do whatever they can between now and the draft to try and fix the wrongs that are being written about them. And then obviously height and weight are going to be issues with Bryce Young.
Bryce was like, yeah, I'm confident in my size. I've been this size my whole life, which I'm calling BS on that.
I don't think he came out of the womb that size.
I'm calling BS on that he's been that size his whole life. CJ Stroud said he looked up to Michael Vick and Deshaun Watson, which I do see some comps between Stroud and Watson, if I'm being honest. And then Will Levis, they asked him, why are you throwing? He goes, well, I got a bazooka for an arm. Why wouldn't I throw?
I like that confidence.
Yeah.
Well, you heard what Richardson said about...
Oh, yeah, that was the other one I wanted to mention.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton. So what did he grew up calling himself, what, Cam Jackson or vice versa?
Did he say that?
Yeah.
He said he called himself Cam Jackson?
Yeah, either Cam Jackson or Lamar Newton.
Huh.
I think it was Cam Jackson.
Did you hear the other thing that Anthony Richardson said, which... I mean, I'm not a big, I don't really care what they say on podiums. I think it's all very stupid. People get very excited about press conferences. I think it's silly. Most of the time, what they're telling you at press conferences aren't even true. They're telling you what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. But Anthony Richardson, they asked him about his arm strength. He said, I don't care if somebody complains about it being thrown too hard. They better catch it. Wow. I don't like that quote. Like, all of a sudden, you're immediately putting accountability elsewhere.
Well, I think more so than that, too. It's like, I mean... how many times have we seen players where we're like, you got to have some touch on the ball. You got to realize when to rocket it and when, if it's like a wheel route out of the backfield, it's a touch pass that leads the receiver to the football. If you throw a laser beam off of his face mask, that's on you.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't like that quote from Anthony Richardson. I wasn't a huge fan of it. But look, go around the horn. Like quarterback, we're not talking about that at the moment because it's outside of quarterback. Which positions are the Texans' biggest needs in the draft? I quite frankly think that they're going to draft another running back. Now, I don't want it to be in the first three rounds. I would like the Texans to use their first fourth round pick on the best running back that's there, a speed guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. That's what I want. So I think that the running back spot is on the table here to be upgraded in the aggregate, in the whole, in this draft. Tight end position,
mm-hmm.
I could see the Texans going both ways with that. Like, I could see them either investing a draft pick on a tight end, or I could see them bringing in a veteran or just re-signing one of their own veterans that they had. So I think that that's on the board. I think you do have to consider that. The wide receiver position, I would say that's more likely they address in the draft than they do free agency because the free agent class is awful.
Well, but we not only is the class not great, but we know the price tag on wide receivers has gone way up based on the market a year ago with the trades and the contracts. Now there's a premium on wide receivers from a dollar figure perspective, whether they produce at that level or not. And that's scary for a team that shouldn't be overpaying for a receiver right now.
A lot of people want the Texans to sign a veteran wide receiver to be like that veteran in the room. The best wide receiver in free agency, like I've looked at a lot of these top like 100 free agent lists, top 50 free agent lists. A lot of them have Odell Beckham as the top receiver in this year's free agency class.
That's how bad it is then.
That's not very good. Yeah. There's just not a lot of very good receivers in this draft. Like Jacoby Myers was one that was predicted to go to the Texans. Are you interested in paying
a
slightly above market value for Jacoby Myers? No. So I think wide receivers on this list for one of the most three specific positions. As far as center and guard, I think they could use a draft pick on them. I think it would be late. I think it's more likely they address that in free agency. So that's the offensive side of the ball. At the skill positions, I think that they use draft picks to pick up guys at those specific positions. Defensively, I could see them using draft capital and free agency money on the defensive line. The linebacker spot, I'm not so sure because they really like Christian Harris. I think they're going to be in a lot of nickel formations where they're only playing two linebackers anyways. So I don't know if linebacker's a spot that they would use in free agency, but they might take somebody that D'Amico Ryans likes. Corner's an interesting one because you have, obviously, Stingley. You have Nelson, but Nelson's only on a one-year deal. If they're playing a lot of nickel, that means they're going to use three corners. And then maybe a safety opposite of Jalen Petrie. So if you were going to say three positions that you have to focus on in the draft, specifically in the draft, besides QB? We just kind of went through it there. What are the three that stand out to you?
Tight end, receiver, and edge rusher.
Okay, that's about me. I think I'm right there with you. Tight end, wide receiver, and an edge guy, I think, are the three most specific positions to spend draft capital on. I don't like the free agent wide receivers. The free agent tight ends are kind of just journeymen. Like, they're middle of the road guys.
Well, you want Cameron Brate for like $4 or $5 million a year?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. And like, a lot of people look at Gesicki. Like, oh yeah, get Gesicki. Well, Gesicki wasn't a fit in McDaniel's scheme, which is a San Francisco scheme. How are you going to think that that's a fit in Slowick's scheme? And Gesicki gets a lot of heat for not being able to block as well. And I think that this team desperately needs some youth at the defensive end position. Because we've seen the last couple of years, Jerry Hughes last year. Like, I like him on the roster. I don't want him starting. Oboe, he's a free agent. Do the Texans bring Oboe back? Maybe they bring Oboe back. I thought he was good in the small sample, bigger sample.
You're interested in Marcus Davenport?
Not really.
I think the price tag's going to be too much. I think that if you just... He's got relatives here. His little brother's a friend of mine that I think he'd like to play here. But I think that for the... You know, what he's going to get on the open market and what he's going to command, I don't think the Texans should be paying that.
Yeah, I don't either. And I just don't really think that should be where the philosophy's at right now with the Texans. Like, they even talked about this during the media availability during the week. Caserio first and then D'Amico. They talked about how important it is to build through the draft. Like, you have to hit on these draft picks. And where the Texans are with their current infrastructure, they have to build from within. Like, free agency to me, or whenever you find guys that you have holes in, and you're bringing in free agents to a good team to fill those holes, fill those plugs. We've seen that from good teams around the NFL. Texans are just nowhere near being in that sort of, you know, state that they can just be signing free agents for the sake of signing free agents. We saw it in the first 2 years of Caserio, but that was more about just filling a team, putting a 53-man roster together.
Basically just bridging the gap from incredible suck to starting at square one, scratch, let's start over.
Yeah.
And so that's where you got your fighting Rex Burkheads.
Yeah.
So now it's time to move on and take a step above.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. What specific positions are the biggest needs the Texans should be focusing on in the draft in late April? It's the Killer Bees on a Frankie's Friday Fire on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by PsychJab.com. Benefiting Kids Mills, this year's tournament will take place Wednesday, March 8, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a limited edition ESPN t-shirt. Register now at ESPN975.com. It was nice for Sean to stop by, show his appreciation for the Killer Bees. A lot of people are talking about this on Twitch anyways, about this quote from Anthony Richardson. Big C, who, you know, is going to love Anthony Richardson, I guess.
Why?
Says that he loves this quote from Anthony Richardson, how he's going to throw the ball hard and it's up to his receivers to catch it. I don't care if somebody complains about it being thrown too hard, they better catch it. Twitch is arguing. Big C said he loved that quote. Twitch is saying that you need to touch on your throws. I think that I think velocity from a quarterback is one of the most overrated attributes that a quarterback can possess, quite frankly. I don't think Brady threw a fastball. I don't think Manning threw a fastball. Drew Brees didn't throw a fastball. Mahomes throws a pretty good fastball. Josh Allen has a really good fastball. I just don't think it's all that important. I take accuracy way more than velocity. I'll take reading a defense way more than velocity. I'll take the ability to identify what, like, a, you know, defense is in, and then post snap what the defense is doing way more than velocity. You know who threw a cannon? Who had a cannon and threw the ball really far? Jamarcus Russell. Like, I don't
so think did Brett Favre.
Sure. I just don't think that velocity necessarily equates success or failure. I think it's one of the least important attributes for a quarterback.
I think there's windows that you have to squeeze it into. Mahomes did it in the playoffs where he was scrambling and didn't have either foot on the ground, and because of his arm strength was able to put it through a really, really minute-sized window in the end zone for a touchdown. I think that it's It's better than having a limp noodle for an arm.
It helps, but it's not a prerequisite.
Everybody's looking for the big arm. I mean, everybody can say that they have a howitzer, but the thing is how do you manage that, right? Because there's only the deep ball, and like I said, on certain occasions, do you need to throw a laser? Other than that, it's about timing. It's about ball placement. It's about fundamentals. It's about, you know, the decision making, like you said, and the intangibles. There's so many things that go into being a quarterback. But, you know, more times than not, would it be not? It's the scouts prefer to see that you can put zip on the football.
But it's also like when to take it out of its, like, to use it. When to take that club out of the bag, right? Like, you know, here's a golf analogy. Phil Mickelson was crushed for always being super aggressive with his driver, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, if Phil Mickelson didn't use his driver as much, he'd probably win more. He'd probably have a couple of majors before he finally got them. I think that a quarterback can overcommit to using the howitzer to where, like, this is why this quote scares me. Whenever you need a leveled ball, when you need to layer it over the first line of defense and underneath the second line of defense, when you need a little bit of touch, you need a little bit of loft, I think you can, like, be married to the fact that you have this amazing arm with a cannon, and all of a sudden
you become a gunslinger into trouble.
And when Anthony Richardson says, I don't care if somebody complains about it being thrown too hard, they better catch it. Like, I mean, I don't want to sit here and overanalyze a press conference. But I am worried of a quarterback, and I'm not worried about Anthony Richardson because of this quote. I'm talking more generally speaking. I'm more worried with a quarterback who literally has no touch than has a noodle arm.
A lot of guys that become gunslingers, they rely on it. It's their bailout of everything. And Favre did it. I mean, Favre used to think that he could throw himself out of any situation by just utilizing his arm strength, no matter if it was a deep ball or off balance. And that's where he threw a lot of his picks, because he thought he could play hero ball. And so instead of, you know, going through your progressions and making the smart quarterback decision, guys that have a cannon a lot of times, to your point, instead of trying to put the ball where it needs to be placed in like your third option, they say, no, option two, I can throw him open and I can throw it in a place where only he can catch it, and I can hit him in the hands, and then he ends up throwing a pick because off balance, it doesn't matter how hard you throw it, it's tough to put it where you want it to go. And I think that that's where a lot of guys with big arms get into trouble. Yeah. I think that you have to be able to balance your own skill set to your own advantage and to the team's best advantage.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a prerequisite. Is it nice to have? Is it a really nice aid? Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a difference, though, between having that kind of arm, but you still got to be able to throw the deep ball, right? I mean, so you don't have to have, you don't have to have like a flamethrower, but you still have to be able to put the ball downfield 40 yards or so, because some guys that don't have the flamethrower also are very limited in how far they can go out down the field and stretch the field.
See, I don't think Bryce Young has a cannon, to be honest with you, but I think he throws a really nice deep
ball. Lance said this last year, and looking at all his tape, he said he struggled a little bit throwing the deep ball.
Yeah, I think he has good touch on his deep ball, and I think he can throw it far. I don't think he has great zip, to be honest with you. But, again, Bryce Young and Will Levis, to me, are my favorite two quarterbacks in this draft. It's not a prerequisite. Is it something that I would enjoy for my quarterback to have? Yes, but I would take other attributes way before I take zip on the football. I want accuracy first and foremost. I want a quarterback who can read a defense, who can read a defense pre-snap, who can read a defense post-snap, who can get his offense into what they need to be in. Can tell a receiver, okay, let's run a little hot route here. All of those sort of things. Does it help when that quarterback also has a cannon? Yes. But he needs to be able to know when to use that cannon. Layered throws, et cetera, et cetera. 713-780-ESPN. What are some areas of focus, position importance, that the Texans should focus on in the draft outside of the quarterback position? ABC Eric says, a safety next to Petrie? You don't like Jonathan Biles, Branham. LOL. I don't. I don't think Jonathan Biles is a... I think he's very average at the safety position. He's also a free agent, and I'm not sure that the Texans are going to re-sign Jonathan Biles. I think that's a position, if we're just looking at starters, that's a position the Texans can certainly upgrade. But evaluating the free agency market, there's a lot of really good safeties, veteran safeties, that I would like alongside a young Jalen Petrie. I honestly rather the Texans go the free agency route with a veteran safety next to Jalen Petrie than through the draft.
Look, the one thing that I like is they have an ability to kind of not overpay but find talent, at least in the secondary, because I thought, you know, going out and getting a Stevie Nelson was a move not a lot of teams were willing to make, and it turned out to be maybe the best signing that Caserio made last offseason. So I think you're right. I think he can find guys that he can understand and evaluate talent on to say, hey, look, they might have been in the wrong place, in the wrong situation. We could utilize this guy and we get the best out of him. And I'll trust him on those because I think he can make a decision like that. And I think you can probably save some money if you get a guy like that.
I heard, I think it was Casario talking earlier this week, talking about how like their defense is going to be, it's just the NFL nowadays. Nowadays in the NFL, you see nickel defenses more than ever before. So, like, you're rarely in your base defense. The Texans were going to run a 4-3 base defense under DeMeco Ryans. They're probably going to play 70-75% of a nickel defense, which means you're going to have five defensive backs out there, three of them being corners, and you're going to have two linebackers on the field. Knowing that the Texans and that the NFL in general goes more and more to this nickel defensive package, is it more important to get a corner, even though you already have Stevie Nelson, that he's on a one-year deal? Because I like Stevie Nelson, too. You were all over that.
Yep.
I think he's a really good football player. It does make sense to me to look at corner in this draft with the idea of the long play, where it's like, okay, this will be eventually my starter next to Stingley. Also with the caveat, now nickel corner, outside corner are kind of two different positions, quite frankly. But I do like the idea of getting another young player in the secondary because – corners are, I mean, you need so many corners, it seems like, nowadays in the NFL.
Yeah, you do. And I think that from that standpoint alone, that there's nothing wrong with adding corners. I think that after what they did in the draft a year ago, it just depends on if someone's sliding or something like that. But I think they obviously in the draft have more prioritized needs, per se, that they should address first. But in free agency, if he did what he did a year ago with Stevie Nelson and can find it someone similar, whether it be at safety or an extra corner, then so be it. He definitely doesn't have he has the Midas touch more than the Bill O'Brien touch that kept taking guys that were former number one picks that, you know, were not succeeding in the league for a reason and continued to fail here. I'll trust him there and then hopefully trust his draft acumen to say, hey, look, you're going to find some guys at other positions of need that are more prioritized important for this particular roster.
1509, is this a hot take? Tim Tebow and Sam Bradford had rocket arms, too. Bradford had an overinflated contract to remain in the NFL. I don't think that the latter is necessarily a bad take. Yeah, Bradford's contract
Did Bradford have a rocket arm?
I honestly don't remember.
I don't either.
I wouldn't say Tim Tebow did, though.
No.
I don't think Tebow had a rocket arm.
He was just a hyper-physical specimen of a guy.
He wasn't even that accurate.
Well, first of all, he was not accurate. No. Yeah, he was more, that's why he ran so much, because he really couldn't make the throws. I don't think either guy that I remember had a rocket arm. I mean, I think Sam Darnold was the last quarterback that avoided Sam Bradford was the last quarterback to avoid the rookie pay scale and got like $50 million out of the gate.
Yeah, and then he got traded for a first rounder late in camp, remember? Because somebody got hurt. I don't think it's a hot take. I think it's a bad take. Tim Tebow never had a rocket arm, and he never had a good arm. He wasn't a quarterback.
Like he only had a fastball.
Tebow?
Yeah.
He just couldn't have touch? I see what you're saying.
Like he only knew how to throw it as hard as he possibly could.
No, yeah, I could see that.
Wind up to really throw it, too?
Yeah, he had a huge wind up.
He didn't have a big arm. He didn't have a howitzer, but I see what you're saying. He only threw a fastball.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like
a mid-80s fastball.
I do think, you know, DB makes a lot of sense when you look at the draft. It seems like the consensus is that even though they reached on Stingley, that they crushed the Petrie pick.
Sure.
I saw the 33rd team, or whichever, that's ESPN or whatever it is. They did a redraft. They said Jalen Petrie would be the 14th pick in last year's draft.
What was Stingley, like late first?
20th. He was still the 20th pick to the Steelers. So, like, if he does evaluate these DBs effectively, like, yeah, he still walked away with two first-rounders last year in the draft. Yeah, he went early on Stingley. Like, that makes me feel like he can go get a guy. Mm-hmm. And the way we're talking about, you know, using guys in different positions and changing defense. Like, that's why I think Brian Branch does make some sense for them at 12. Because he kind of is that guy where he can be a safety. You can move him to a nickel. Like, we know Casario loves SEC guys.
I'm just so scared of using – it's not so – drafting Branch at 12, I'm worried about who I'm not drafting from the board there. Because I think there's going to be some really good players on the board at number 12. Like, that Pitt defensive tackle, like, he's really garnering some interest for me. I'd rather have him than Branch right now, to be completely honest with you.
I mean, he caught everybody's eye because of his 40.
Fastest 40 in the combine history from a defensive tackle.
Since 2006?
I read ever. Maybe I'm wrong,
McAvoy,
but I read ever.
Said since 03. The ESPN and NFL Network said since 06. But it doesn't hurt that he went to the same school as Aaron Donald, because now everybody's losing their mind making the comparison.
Another Pitt defensive tackle. He's the latest and greatest. He's going to be like Aaron Donald. He's catching my eye, though.
How do you do at the podium? Because that's
I don't know. I have no idea. Apparently quarterbacks only matter.
Does he make mound visits?
I hope.
Okay.
I hope, because that matters so much. The city of Houston's still looking to replace Carlos Correa's ability to lead.
Does he have culture?
And ability to go to the mound and ability to visit. Now, I think the Texans are looking for culture, though. I really do.
Well, they never have not. That's always been a prerequisite.
Like D'Amico was talking about how much character matters. Casario talked about how much Casario mattered. Did I say that right? Casario talked about how much character matters. So I think that they are going to does a player love football?
We always said to a fault, and a big fault, that Robert McNair would never take a guy with a checkered past. Mm-hmm. But then when he passed, you turned the reins over to Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, and suddenly it was a complete cluster of even more culture-based culture on steroids type takes and imaging. Well, now you finally got a guy that you can believe in, buy into, and say, if D'Amico wants a certain kind of culture, that I'll go for, because he's been there, done that, been in the locker rooms, in the wars. He knows. These other guys, man, that they passed on some really good football players to be over the top on culture.
You're going
to
respect D'Amico more. There's no
question.
Texas Red, I think Tebow's arms are too big to throw effectively, like he worked out too much. I can relate to that. I think you're onto something there, Texas Red. 0584, Jameis Winston, no touch. Like, touch matters. Like, it's great to have that fastball. It's great to have it, but you have to have the ability to have a little bit of touch, too. And that's something that does bother me with Anthony Richardson. Like, watching him on film, you don't see a whole lot of layered throws. You don't see a whole lot of touch. That is something that's serious.
And that's something, too, that no matter how much coaching you get, that's something tough to break yourself of the habit of. And some guys just don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't understand that there's more than one ways to deliver the football to the target where it needs to be. And sometimes you can take a little off, lead them a little less, or throw it in a different position and still get the same result of a completion, as opposed to trying to throw a frozen rope between two defenders and waiting until the last minute.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. It's a Frankie's Friday Fire. You bring the heat. $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen coming your way. 713-780-3776. In honor of Dre, who I'm going to ban here pretty soon. I'm just kidding. Astros opening day countdown. 19 shows left before the Houston Astros opening day. Today's question, Astros opening day question, Christian Javier and Framber Valdez, their expectations for 2023 and who we're expecting to have the better season in certain statistical categories. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's that time again. It's March. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's fifth annual Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light, supported by Rudy's Barbecue. We'll be giving away tons of prizes worth over $50 each. And we mentioned it's all free, so you can win up to stuff that's at least $50, and it's all free. Prizes include gift cards to Frankie's Italian Kitchen, Frankie's Friday Fire today, by the way, Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Chewy's, The Burger Joint, much, much more. Head to ESPN975.com. Register now. Reserve your spot. Brackets revealed a week from Sunday. It's right around the corner. It's Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light, America's favorite lager. We're winding down to Astros opening day. We are very, very close. Less than a month away. 19 shows left until Astros opening day. We've been asking you a question every single day on our Astros opening day countdown. Today's question is, what are Christian Javier's and Framber Valdez's expectations for 2023? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's start. Where do you want to start? ERA, wins?
I mean, I think wins.
Let's start with wins, because you always say wins first.
I think we got to first decide where do you want to start with wins, or is it quality starts?
What did you say?
Is it wins or quality starts?
We can do both. We can do both. More people are going to look at wins than quality starts. Yeah. Like, are quality starts more important than wins whenever we're evaluating a single pitcher with, you know, erase everything else? Yeah, I think so.
The deep divers are going to look at quality starts. I think just the regular average fan is just going to look at wins and losses.
Exactly. Like, they show win-loss record and ERA. Is quality start a better representation of a pitcher's, like, quality? Yeah, I would say so. Because, I mean, a lot of times wins luck. Like, I always point to, what was his name, Jeremy Robertson, back when the Astros Yankees had Clemens. No, he was an Astro. Back when they had,
Jeremy,
like, Clemens.
Robertson?
Yeah, he was, like, their fifth starter. He was a rookie and won, like, 15 games, and he had an ERA of, like, 5.
Who was the – doesn't the Yankees have a – was it David Roberts?
David, yeah, he's a reliever.
Yeah, that's one I wanted like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
That signed with the Phillies. Yeah, okay. I remember Jeremy Robertson now.
Yeah, he was an Astro his rookie year. He won 15 games. He went 15-9 in 03 with a 5.10 ERA.
Oof.
He pitched 8 games next year in Cleveland in 04, and then he literally never pitched in a big league game again. He won 15 games in his rookie year.
Golly.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go with the wins, because the wins are going to be something that's just easier to track. They post win-loss record. They post ERA. Framber Valdez, let's start there. What does Framber Valdez get in a win total in 2023?
Man, I'm going to say, how many had last year?
I want to say he had
17
last year.
I can see him winning. I'll say I could see him winning 17.
17 games for Framber?
I think 17's fair. I think as long as he stays healthy, I think where the differentiation is going to be from this year to last year is going to be quality starts. I mean, he went on a run, and those things don't, we know, you know, how long that record had stood, and we know what an accomplishment it was. I don't see him doing that again, but I think that this team is so good that I can see him winning 17 games.
I'm going to say that he takes a step back slightly in terms of wins. One, last year he was going deep into games, mm-hmm. quality start every single time. He was outstanding. I don't think that the shift is going to bother him in a huge way, but it's not going to affect him in a positive way. Like, he's a ground ball pitcher. Now the position players and the infielders are going to be in a spot where, you know, you can't load up the right side of the infield. You can't put three infielders on the right side of the bag. So I think Framber, you know, we talk about Tucker and Yordan being positive benefactors of the shift being eliminated. I think ground ball pitchers are kind of the thing that we're overlooking in terms of who's going to be affected from a pitching standpoint. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be huge. Like, I don't think it's going to be more than a quarter of the run with their ERA. But I think it's going to cost him a couple of starts going deeper into games. Even if he's not giving up runs, he's giving up more base runners, he's throwing more pitches to get out of innings. I'm going to say that Framber finishes this year with 15 wins. Plus, Astros might go six-man rotation more this year than they did last year, which means less starts, means less opportunities, means less wins. I'll go 15. What do you got, Joe George?
Yeah, I was going down that path, too, so I was actually going 14.
Mm. So, I think a lot of people would be disappointed if he had 14 wins.
It's not really an anti-Framber thing. It's everything you said. It's the six-man rotation, I think, plays a big factor in this, so I'll go 14.
Right. I honestly think that he's set up to have fans disappointed in his season, because of how good last year was, because of the lack of the shift, like you said. And I think that no matter what he does, I think he's set up for more. It's not even going to be failure, but I think it's going to be disappointment. I think fans are going to expect the same and more, not weighing in all the variables, and understand that he may have less wins, he may have less quality starts, but he may overall be better suited for the playoffs and be a better pitcher for you.
Look, people aren't going to like this possibility. It's not even a take. It's not necessarily my opinion. But there's a very real possibility that a pitcher, when he's 28 years old, hits their peak in their career. Last year, Framber Valdez was 28 years old. Is it possible that Framber Valdez is a 28-year-old when he went 17-6 with a 2.82 ERA, led the American League in innings pitched, and finished fifth in Cy Young will be his peak? Yeah, I think it's a very fair and reasonable thing to think. But, you know, we'll see if Framber can put back-to-back years together. I still think he's going to be very good. I still think he's one of the top 10 pitchers in the AL. But statistically, was last year his peak? I think it's a very real possibility. All right, Christian Javier. What's the win total like for Christian Javier? Last year, Javier, who made 25 starts, was 11-9 with a 2.54 ERA.
I may be crazy. I think he's going to win 18 games. I think that he is going to take the American League by storm. I think that, you know, as much as teams think they've seen him, to really consistently just put him out there in the top of the rotation and let him do his thing, I think he is going to be someone we're talking about all season long, the way we were talking about Framber's streak a year ago. And I think that he is going to have a hell of a year, and I'm going to go, maybe it's out on a limb a little bit, but I'm going to say 18.
I think that Javier is going to take the next step in his career. I think he's one of the very best pitchers in the AL. Javier doesn't go deep into games. Framber's more of the workhorse. Framber goes deeper. Javier, they kind of, you know, they don't have him going 7-8 innings deep. He also throws more pitches because he's a strikeout guy. Strikeout guys throw more pitches because you need more pitches to strike guys out. So Javier doesn't go as deep. Like, he made 25 starts last year, had a 2.5 ERA and won 11 games. I think that Christian Javier, I don't think he's going to lose many games. Like, I don't think he's going to lose as many as he lost last year, nine. I'm going to put Christian Javier's win total at, let's say, 14. 14 wins for Christian Javier in 2023. Joe George?
Yeah, I'm going to go 16. I'll meet you guys in the middle, which will be our consensus. And we are going to start doing that. We did consensus for Jose.
You're making your math easy for yourself.
No, I was. That's where I wrote it down ahead of time.
Okay, fair enough.
Our consensus on Jose Abreu was a .288 average, 23 home runs, 92 RBIs.
Would take that.
So, and we'll do a consensus on these guys as well. So 16 will be our win total for Javier.
What was our Fromber consensus? What was the three wins? Say it real quick.
17, I said 17. 15, 14. So I guess it's
like 14 and a half, 15. Yep. No, it's probably right around 15.
We're going to round up.
Maybe 15 and a half. Okay. All right. There's my Houston Cougar math. All right, let's go to, actually, let's do it on the other side. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. What's your expectation for Christian Javier, Framber Valdez wins, ERA? And what about where they finish in the AL Cy Young Award voting? 713-780-3776 on a Frankie's Friday Fire. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that you need in your life is Pinnacle. Pinnacle Construction, and this is why you need it, because everybody's looking for a home remodel. We're always looking to upgrade, whether it's ourselves or it's our homes. So you've been thinking about a remodel just like me, and Pinnacle Construction is for you, and it's the peak time to do it. Whether you just want something fresh, just creating a new look, whether it's a kitchen, a bathroom, how about a room addition? Of course you have. You've been waiting for the right people, though. Someone you can trust and doesn't charge you through the roof, pardon the pun. Pinnacle Construction is the name that you need to know. Pinnacle Construction, general contractor with decades of experience that will help with any kind of repair. Are you choosing a team to remodel your home? Well, that oftentimes can be confusing. Not with Pinnacle Construction. Allow their team to ease that confusion. Doug Johnson, native Houstonian, serving all of the greater Houston area. Doug and his team will guarantee quality in-house work, and they're here to stay. Licensed and insured with stellar customer service for every project and every customer. Get your free estimates with a qualified Pinnacle Construction technician now. Call or text 281-900-3004 or just email Doug at PinnacleConstructionLLC.net. Financing options are available. Ask for the ESPN discount as well. Pinnacle Construction, born and building in Texas with over 20 years of general contracting experience. Visit 975generalcontractor.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Someone texted into the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, said that Jeremy Robertson died in a car accident, guess. I didn't realize that. Yikes. Hey, a motorcycle accident, 2010. That's too bad.
It is.
Rest in peace. I didn't realize that. That's awful. Framber Valdez, Christian Javier. We're talking about these two pitchers. What are expectations of them or for them in 2023? 713-780-3776. We listed our wins for both Framber Valdez and Christian Javier. What is yours? 713-780-ESPN. Let's do the ERA now. What is your expectation for Framber Valdez's earned run average?
I'm going to say mid threes. I'm going to say 3.4
for Framber?
Yep.
Okay. That would be the worst year he's had in the last three for Framber.
And I'm not running from that.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, it's too high for me.
But you also had the most wins for Framber, right? So you're expecting.
No, I didn't. I had for Javier.
What did you? How many wins did you have?
For Framber? No, I guess I had 17 for Framber.
I'm talking about of us. Yeah, you had Javier.
Yeah, I did. Of us, I did.
But
again, you got a good offensive team that's going to put up a lot of runs.
You have a better offense. I don't think it's out without the realm of possibility. I think Framber is going to be slightly negatively impacted by the new shift rules. He is very much a ground ball pitcher, more than he's ever been, which is good. I don't really think that he's going to have any trouble with the pitch clock, so I'm not really concerned about that. But I think his ERA will be, let's call it 297. 297 for Framber. He'll be a slightly less than a 3 ERA. But it does go up from last year, but it's still better than it was in 2021. I'll call it 297 ERA.
Maybe I'm too mean to it. Maybe that's too harsh. 3.4.
Yeah, you got to stick with what you're gonna. You got to stick with your guns.
That's why we're doing a consensus here.
Okay,
we're just trying to I got to even us out. I'm going 292.
Yeah, some of us are optimistic and homers like me. Some of us are realists like blinkers. It's good. It's fine. It's a good balance between the Killer Bees. Joe is a White Sox fan.
No, I'm not. I went 292.
292. Okay. So he was the lowest. He was
the tiptoe
optimistic.
The line guy?
He's trying to get the World Series ring right now with kissing up to the Astros.
Well, I mean, he's barking up the wrong tree. That ship has sailed.
What has sailed?
That ship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Please be careful.
So that's our Fromber ERA.
Tired of your ship, Joe.
Let's go with the Christian Javier ERA. What do you think Christian Javier's ERA will be in 2023?
275.
Okay, that's a quick answer. I think Javier is elite with his stuff. Now, I don't think he goes deep into games. That's why I was, you know, punishing him a little bit in terms of the overall win-loss record, the amount of wins. Last year, he had a 254 ERA. Javier is a strikeout fly ball pitcher. So he doesn't rely on ground balls as much as Fromber. He's not going to be affected by the new rules, I don't think, really whatsoever. Javier also is going to be going into this season with his second year, really, as a full-time starter. Some would say he really wasn't a full-time starter last year, so maybe it's his first year as a full-time starter. I think Javier's ERA is going to be better than it was a year ago. Last year, he had a 254 ERA. Now, there's not a whole lot of improvement there. He has a 2.5 ERA. He's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. I'll say that Christian Javier puts together a season where he has a 249 ERA, just barely under the 2.5 mark that he posted a year ago.
Sorry, say one more time?
249. 249 for Christian Javier.
I can tell you that you can meet in the middle because it doesn't take a whole lot of math to get close.
No,
he's going to screw it up.
I know you.
No, I'm not. I'm going lower again.
Whoa. Look, he is trying to get
that
ring.
Under 249.
Yeah, I had it at 242.
240?
Well, I mean,
242.
No, I didn't say a lot.
What are we, the prices right now?
No, I literally prepped this ahead of time.
Okay. 242 for Christian Javier.
Yeah.
So what does that average out to?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how to do the ERAs.
That was a challenging question.
I'm literally doing the Fromber ones. I did the first three, and I got a lower number than we all projected, and I was like, this isn't working.
You're just going to have to take the decimal out, make it a three-digit number, and then divide by three. Add all three of our ERAs together, divide by three, and then manually input the decimal whenever the math is done. That's what you're going to have to do. All right, let's talk about Cy Young voting. Because Fromber Valdez last year finished fifth in Cy Young voting. Christian Javier was robbed not getting a Cy Young vote whenever I think he should have finished in the top 10 in Cy Young voting. Do you think Fromber Valdez, because all you have to do is get a vote to finish on the result list, and it's however many pitchers get a vote. Do you think Fromber Valdez will get a vote at all for the AL Cy Young, and where will he be voted if he does?
I mean, I'm not trying to be a pessimist or anything like that, but I'm just trying to have realistic expectations from what he did a year ago. And I'm going to say that I think that it's possible that he'll have a vote or two. So I'll say yes, he'll get a couple of votes. I'll say he'll finish right about 10th in the lower half of the top 10.
Lower half of the top 10, so 10th for Fromber. I think Fromber's going to take a little bit of a step back from where he was a year ago. I still think he's going to be one of the top 10 starters in all of the American League. I'll say that Fromber finishes 9th in AL Cy Young voting in 2023.
Yeah, I was going 8, so.
Joe's going to say 8.
I was. So he's our consensus is 9.
9. I'll take that.
His consensus ERA was a 309.
Okay.
Well, so Fromber, we've got 15 wins, 309 ERA, 9th in Cy Young.
Do you take that from Fromber? 15 wins, 309 ERA, 9th in Cy Young, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees consensus.
I think I do.
I would in a heartbeat.
Before or after you pay him?
Pay Fromber?
Yeah.
Oh, they're not paying Fromber.
Then I'm definitely taking this.
They're not paying Fromber. Fromber's too old to get a big contract, I think.
I would definitely take that year from him.
Yeah, I would take that. I think that's great. It's not Cy Young worthy. It's not replacing Justin Verlander, if that's what your hopes are.
But as a whole, you're going to do more to replace Justin Verlander with the depth of your offense now and the depth of your overall pitching staff than you are worried about replacing Justin Verlander singularly.
Yeah. I would gladly take that from Fromber. 713-780-3776 with you. All right, Christian Javier, where do you have him finishing in the AL Cy Young Award voting, if you do?
I really believe, again, I'm very bullishly high on Christian Javier this year. I'm going to say he's going to be in the top 5.
Okay, where?
I'm going to say he's 5th in Cy Young.
All right, 5th for Cy Young for Javier. I think Javier's like raw numbers are going to be very good, like the average numbers. The ERA, I think, is going to be one of the best in baseball, maybe lead the AL. I think the strikeouts are going to be top 3. I think WHIP is going to be top 3. I think he's going to suffer a little bit in the win category because he doesn't go as deep into games. But voters now more than ever, like they don't really use the wins variable as much as they used to.
DeGrom, Robbie Ray, guys like that, where they didn't get punished for not having massive win totals.
No. So I think that Javier will finish fourth in the American League Cy Young Award results.
Well, I went 16 wins, a 2.42 ERA, and I think that finishes number two.
All right. So Joe's the high guy optimist of the Killer Bees.
Which gives us a fourth place finish.
Fourth place finish for Javier. So what's Javier's aggregate here?
16 wins, a 2.55 ERA, fourth place in Cy Young.
Do you take that with Christian Javier? 16 wins, 2.55 ERA, take those fourth two in Cy and Young. 713-780-3776. Do you think we sold them short, though, these two guys?
I don't think so.
I think that's pretty good for Javier.
Fromber was better last year.
Yeah, I think we're all selling Fromber. I have a feeling people do not like us for Fromber.
I honestly agree with you. Like, I think that people that are listening to us right now asking this Astros opening day countdown question, they're yelling at the radio saying, you guys are selling Fromber Valdez short. And then if you want to have a critique and a criticism for Javier, I think we're projecting Javier to just, like, take that next step in his career when, quite frankly, he's never done it before.
He's never been asked to.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are people that are probably mad about this, but I think that you have to take your orange and blue colored glasses off, and you got to be realistic about what they did last year and then how that translates to what they could do this year. I think that's why I think there's a higher ceiling for what Javier could do, because everybody was, you know, judging him reliever, starter, you know, dominant pitcher, but for how long? Like you said, he doesn't go that deep into games. What could he possibly do? But because of how good his stuff is, I think there's a lot of optimism. I think with Fromber, he did so much a year ago that it's just natural that he's going to take a step back. It doesn't mean that, you know, he's not going to be as good or he's not going to be as effective. It just means that it's hard to match what he did a year ago with some of the things he accomplished.
713-780-ESPN. Where do we go wrong? HRMP listener line 713-780-3776. On a Frankie's Friday fire. 6955, if both pitchers pitch enough innings to qualify, I expect both Fromber and Javier to be top 10 in AL Cy Young voting. I think we had them both in the top 10. We had Fromber 9. Yep. We had Javier, you said, 4th.
Yeah,
so we had we had both in the top 10, one in the top 5. 6955, Javier is the best deal in the sport. He was elite even before everyone learned his name last October. Facts. No doubt about it. I think Christian Javier, because a lot of people called Fromber Valdez the most underrated pitcher in all of baseball. He wasn't even the most underrated pitcher on his staff. Christian Javier was the most underrated pitcher in all of baseball a year ago.
Yeah, maybe nationally you can say that Fromber was underappreciated, but I think that, underrated on that staff has to be Javier.
Yeah, he was very good.
And he showed it when they needed him most.
713-780-3776. Adam on Twitter says, Fromber probably takes both quality starts and wins for the staff. He just pitches so deep into games. I think it's a very fair point because he's able to go deep into games. Fromber is just that workhorse for you, whereas Javier was not. The one big question I have for Fromber is the shift rules, quite frankly, because Astro fans, you know, usually you're pretty optimistic about your team, especially the Astros. They've given you reason to be optimistic about the team. Whenever the shift rules were put into place, everybody immediately went to Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker, which rightfully so. I mean, you get three infielders on the right side of the bag every time that they're up. Yordan Alvarez hits some just missiles into the shift. Kyle Tucker hits some missiles into the shift as well. So, like, that is what's going to immediately stand out. I don't like when the conversation ends there, because if you're going to have the conversation of how the shift influences the Astros, you need to have, yes, the Yordan Tucker conversation, but you also need to have the Fromber Valdez conversation. He's one of the best ground ball pitchers in all of baseball. And now all of a sudden you're shifting what the defense is going to look like where it's been in years before. That's a huge influence on what I think his season's going to be. And I think the question becomes, how great is that influence?
I mean, again, and I'll take it a step further than what I said, because from an offensive perspective, I said the Astros have as much to gain and will be the most scrutinized in terms of the lack of a shift this year from an offensive perspective, because of the three guys that could really capitalize, that being Tucker and Yordan and Brantley. But when you look at it from a pitching perspective, and you and I have talked about this in the past, I think that Fromber stands to be hurt by it, and I think Javier could be helped by it. And I think that that's something to factor in when you're evaluating these two guys at the top of your rotation and trying to make predictions.
How do you think Javier can be helped by it?
I think because he's a fly ball pitcher, because I don't think it's going to hurt him per se. I don't think that he's going to take unnecessary
numbers relative
games.
To the league. Yes. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, where if the MLB average was, I don't know, just say 3.5 ERA last year, it's going to go up a little bit because the offense is influenced, and now he's going to stay what he right. is. Because yeah, I see what you're saying. So, like, relative to the league numbers, that makes sense. All right, 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. What are your expectations for Javier and Fromber in 2023? Did we go wrong with where the Killer Bees, the average of those two pitchers, are going to be? Also, besides raw numbers, is there anything you can actually take away from the combine? Are we going to be talking about nothing for 13 minutes? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.